to the Lord, all the earth, let him sing. All of my days, I wanna praise. Everybody needs your love.
Good morning, church. Welcome to another week online. So glad to have you with us. Thank you for taking this time on Sunday morning for us all to be together. I'm always encouraged every week just to know that there are people from our church family that are still gathering now. Although it's virtually, we can't physically be together. We are with each other. And so I want to encourage you, please connect with each other through the chat. We've got a live chat feature through this service. Please share your thoughts, share your prayers, share your encouragements, share your scriptures. That is a space where you can interact with each other. So please, we want to encourage you to do that. There's also a prayer request button. And so if you want to submit a prayer request, that comes straight through to us and we can be praying for you during this week, but also during this service. And if you feel you're able to, there'll be a giving button that comes up throughout the service. You can click that and just give financially into the life of the church. So, but we're gonna start. We're gonna make a start, and we're gonna start with a kids song this morning. So I'm hoping you're all up for a bit of dancing, a bit of jumping around. It might be a new one to some of you, but shake off the cobwebs, get the sleepy dust out your eyes. Let's have a little dance around and enjoy this song. So Phil, will you play this video for us as we start this morning with some worship?
Oh, just want to thank you all for coming in this morning and praising God together. And I just lift his name up today and thank him for all that he has done and his goodness. And let's just praise him during this time of worship.
Your breath.
Church, we can be so thankful this morning. We have a God who rent the heavens and came down so we could cry out to the heavens and know that God hears, that God is there. And I just love that line that Becky's written in that song, that the enemy may seem close, but God is closer still. I want to encourage you this morning. I wonder if there's some of you that are just crying out to God to work a miracle in your life. Maybe you've been waiting for years for God to remove that thing that holds its grip on you, or for restoration in that relationship, or breakthrough in that moment. Church, I just wonder if we could, just in our own homes right now, just as Becky leads us in another song, why don't we cry out to God, the God of miracles? Why don't we just cry out that He would start to shift mountains, that He would start to make rivers in the wasteland, that He would start to make pathways through the desert in your life, in people's lives? We would see God break in. Just sense that just there's a moment right now where we can just cry out to Him. Say, God, will you break in? We could cry to so many voices. We could give our attention to so many things in this moment, but we're going to give it to the King of Kings, the God of all creation, the God of miracles, who has broken in, can break in, and does break in, and will break in. So God, we cry out to you right now. Lord, if words fail, we sing the words of this song, but we bring specific needs to you right now. Those relationships, those hurts, those wounds, those needs, we bring them to you right now, God. We cry out to you in worship, lifting your name high. Come, God of miracles.
Faith arise in spite of what I see, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I choose to trust you. Champion's not dead, he is alive. breakthrough. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. This world is shaking, but you cannot be shaken. My heart is breaking, but I'm not broken yet. Your love is fearless. Help me to be courageous too. Oh, there is nothing impossible.
Yes, Lord. We declare that truth. There's nothing impossible for you. Just while we were singing, we'd said, for those that are watching maybe later on demand and you're missing the chat, we said hit that heart button if you're praying for breakthrough. Hit that heart button in our chat, and as those hearts rise, we'll pray for each person that heart represents that needs healing or provision or breakthrough. So as those hearts were rising during that song, Lord, we lift those hearts to you, because each one of those hearts is a life. Each one of those hearts is a son and a daughter, a child of the living God. So we ask God now, nothing is impossible. God of the breakthrough, God of the miracle. We cry out to you. We thank you that we can be confident in that you hear our prayers. Let us be courageous in boldly coming before you and asking you to meet our needs. God, for your glory. For your glory. Amen. Amen. You know, church, we're so blessed. As a community, we are so fortunate that for so many different reasons, for pastoral team that are just out there ringing people and connecting. You may not even be part of an official team and you're just connecting with people in our churches. I'm so thrilled to see a community of people that are getting up and supporting each other and seeking to reach those beyond our own church boundaries and into our community. And you know, one thing I've been thrilled through during this whole season is that we're seeing people's creativity come alive, and people from our worship team and those that are creative are just starting to express themselves in different ways. And so the song that we're listening to as we do our countdown is someone in our church called Layla, who's just done a remix of Shout to the Lord. Brilliant skills that she's able to bring to doing with that, with those songs. And just we're thrilled that people are able to use those skills and gifts to glorify God, and it encourages each one of us, doesn't it? We love seeing. So if you're being creative out there in any way, please contact us, let us know. You can email in and just let us know what you're doing, because we want to see the creativity that God is doing through his church. And Becky, who's written one of the songs we've already sung this morning, Death Could Not Win, she's written another song called Beauty for Ashes, just as we've been journeying through this season of lockdown and COVID. And so Becky, I want to hand over to you just to lead us in this time of just being able to reflect and pray and listen to the creativity that God has put in and through you. So if you want to just intro your song and say how it came about and then lead us in that, would be great.
So through lockdown, I think for many of us, we've done a lot of healing over this time, a time for reflection, and maybe it was a long deserved and needed break for many of us, and I know it certainly was for me. And it's actually, oddly, the songs I've picked today, without even thinking, kind of all seem have a theme of God mending and reminding us of returning the good for the bad. And so I wrote this song, Beauty for Ashes, a few weeks ago, as I was reflecting all the good things God had given me in return for a lot of pain that I had been working through. And so it's from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. So I'll just read that for you and then I'll go into the song. So Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. So I thank you for your words, God, there, and for blessing us with that, and that reminder that you will always trade out the bad for the good. So thank you, God.
Hallelujah, amen. Love that. love that song. Thank you so much, Becky. I know, I'm sure that's speaking to so many people, and just that what God does in our life. I love that every step of the way we're going to sing his praises. What a fantastic song. Thank you, Becky. Blessing to the church. Guys, we're going to move in and gather around God's word, and I'm just really excited for what God is doing in and through the life of our church. But just before we do, let me just share some notices with you, stuff that's happening over the next coming weeks. Next week, things are going to be a little bit different. So next week, we are going to be sharing our church service together at 10:30, but we're going to do our post-service Zoom. We're going to do it beforehand. So we'll get that through the newsletter to you all. So if you're not a part of our newsletter, there's something coming up in the chat now. You can sign up on to our e-newsletter on the chat right there. There's a link, you can click that and it'll take you through to our e-newsletter, and you'll be able to get regular updates. So on there, we're going to send through the Zoom link for all of you to be able to connect with our pre-service Zoom next week. So at 10:30, pre-service Zoom for half an hour. And then we're going to join with the other churches across the Ealing movement for our festival, family festival service from 11 until 12:30. So if you can be on that, it'd be fantastic. So that's this time next week. Don't forget, 10:30 pre-service Zoom. We'll put the links on this page as well, so anyone that comes here knows where to go to for that. But sign up to our newsletter, and you'll get all of the information that you need. If you are able to give into the life of the church, then there's going to be a giving link that comes up right now in the chat. But otherwise, we're going to put a video up just to start our sermon together as we gather around God's word. So let's play that video and then we'll get straight into God's word.
What do people outside our churches know about Jesus? Have they ever had a conversation with a practicing Christian about Jesus? Answers to questions like these could really help us share the most amazing news: the love of God for all of us through Jesus. So we asked, and here's what people, your friends and neighbours, said. 57% said they're a Christian. 9% are active Christians. They regularly go to church, pray and read the Bible. Useful starting place. But what do they actually know about Jesus? 21% think he's God, while 30% think he's a spiritual leader or prophet. But only 60% think he was an actual, real, historical person. Our job here is clear. Let's make sure everyone gets to hear that Jesus actually lived and walked on earth, and that he claimed he was God. How are we going to do this? Well, 67% said they know one of us, an active follower of Jesus, and we're most likely to be their family and friends. But have we ever spoken to them about Jesus? 58% of those who know us have had a conversation about Jesus with us. Now that's a great start. But what do they think about Jesus after that conversation? 1 in 5 are open to knowing and experiencing more about him. That's 1 in 5 of your friends and family members, the people you know really well, who are waiting for you to talk about Jesus with them. And we found out that talking to someone who knows Jesus was really important in helping 36% of us decide to follow Jesus for ourselves. So let's talk Jesus.
Well, some encouraging statistics in that video, aren't there? Just, I was amazed. 1 in 5 of the people I know that don't yet know Jesus are open to talking about Jesus with me. I don't know about you, but when it comes to kind of like the evangelism talk, I'm a pastor, and I kind of go, oh no, the weight and the expectation is about to be dumped on me, and I kind of really struggle with it. But that's why we're doing this series called Bless. Because we've been looking at what we've been devoted to through spiritual disciplines and how we get close to Jesus, so important. And now we're looking at what we've got to give, how we live in such a way that those around us start to encounter God and the story of Jesus. And we don't want this to be, right, guys, we've got to go out and find 3 non-Christian friends and you just got to start doing all this stuff. No, I really believe that God has already put around you and in the rhythm of your life an opportunity to shine his love and his glory into the people around you, your friends, your neighbours, those that you go to the food shopping with and you just notice them each week. I wonder why you notice them. You see, we're building these rhythms around the word bless. Because if you haven't noticed, all of the rhythm that we had previously has just been tipped on its head.
Even now, as lockdown measures are being eased, it's not like it used to be. And it's not going to be like it used to be for some time. But I think God is with us in this. I don't think God has abandoned us. I think God is inviting us that in this season, we can't do church the way it used to be. And so God is calling us. In fact, I think he's calling us back to not orientate our faith around a rhythm of gatherings, but actually around doing life together and being Jesus to those around us. Being together in moments like this as we gather are so important. But we see in the early church, they had those moments where they gathered corporately, but also those moments where they were gathering in each other's homes and they were doing life together. It was both and. And I think we're being called back to rebalance the address of gatherings that we've held, but also the life that we lead in the everyday stuff of life. And so we as a church are gathering around this word bless. And hopefully you've been with us over these last few weeks. We're taking each letter of the word bless, B-L-E-S-S, and they all stand for something. And we're just on B at the moment. We're taking three directions, the up, the in, and the out, as we look at bless. So the up is, what does it look like for us in the everyday stuff of our life to bless God? That it's not just about going to church, reading our Bibles, praying. Those things are so important. But actually, God wants in on everything. So what does our whole life look like to bless God? What does it look like for us to be a blessing to each other? We looked at it last week. It's by our love for one another, the world will see. We're called to bless one another. What does that look like? How, as we as a church, do we live to bless one another? And then blessing out. If up is the direction towards God, in is the direction towards each other, then out is the direction towards the world. Those that don't yet know Jesus. And so this week, we're going to look at blessing out in a message that I want to call blessed to be a blessing. Now, I say that phrase and some of you are like, no, it's a cliche. Yeah, blessed to be a blessing. Really like it. Nice, catchy little phrase. But so many cliches have a lot of powerful truth in them, don't they? Think all that glitters is not gold. The grass is greener on the other side. These cliches actually hold some powerful truths. And blessed to be a blessing is something that we see God doing throughout the pages of Scripture. That his people that he calls, he blesses them, not just so they can hoard it up and have a nice, easy life, but actually so they can be a blessing out into all the world. In fact, if we go right back to the start, Genesis 1, we see that God makes man in his image for his glory. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. And in verse 28 of Genesis 1, it says that he blessed them and he calls them to multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the earth. Fill the earth and take responsibility. In other words, you are blessed. He blessed them. How? By being made in his image. What better image to be made in than the image of God? And now he says, now go and be a blessing. Fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, take that image that you've been made in and increase it across the face of the planet. Blessed to be a blessing. And we see, sadly, in Genesis 3, we see that Adam and Eve chose not to do this. And it's what's called the fall. And they live probably more for their own image than the image of God, their own knowledge rather than the knowledge and glory of God. And corruption and sin enter the scene. And by the time we get to Genesis 6, we see just how far humanity has fallen. When mankind, it says in verse 1, began to multiply and fill the earth and daughters were born to them. So we're seeing they're doing what God's called them to do. Verse 5 tells us just how toxic that's become. It says, the Lord saw that human wickedness was widespread on the earth and every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time. And so we see the flood and a wiping out of evil and corruption, except for this one man and his family, Noah, who, as the floodwaters recede, we see God calling this man and his family. And in Genesis 9, verse 1, look at the calling upon this man. He says, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The calling is the same. We're going to bless you. The Godhead is going to bless this man and his family. Why? In order to bless the world. Blessed to be a blessing. But we see again in Genesis chapter 11, humanity chooses not to live from that place of blessing in order to bless the world, making much of God. Instead, we see them trying to make much of themselves. And in Genesis 4:11, we see this fascinating story called the Tower of Babel. And they're speaking to themselves. And in verse 4 of chapter 11, they say, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower, its top to the sky. Let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we'll be scattered throughout the earth. I was always taught as a child that God didn't like this because humanity was trying to build this tower to reach the heavens, trying to get to God and be God. Well, maybe, but actually the text tells us that the problem, the text tells us that let us make a name for ourselves. Do you see how far they've slipped? In the light of God's plan for humanity to bear his image and increase that image across the earth about his name, suddenly it's now become all about us. Instead of being blessed to be a blessing, we're now blessed to be blessed. It's all about me. It's all about me, myself, and I. But God never gives up. He's committed to the mission, seeing his glory fill the whole earth. And so we see God call this man called Abraham. And in Genesis 12, just look at the calling of Abraham. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. Listen to this. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. It's like, don't worry about your name, Abraham. Leave your family. Leave your identity. Leave that, because right now I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing to who? The whole earth. It's God's heart that his name be filled through the whole earth, his glory be revealed through the whole earth. And it's not just Abraham, but then God calls this people Israel. And we see in Exodus 19 verse 5, God speaking to Moses, he says, carefully listen. The whole earth is mine, but I'm calling you as a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, to live as blessed ones by God, showing the whole earth who he is. Be intermediates, be priests. That historically seen as that portway between God and earth. Be that for the whole of humanity. You are blessed, but now be a blessing. But we see through the pages of the Old Testament that Israel fell short. In fact, humanity consistently falls short of that calling. We cannot live up to the promise that we make. And in the end, we see for Israel, there's exile and living as slaves in the enemy camp. No longer living in the freedom that God called them to, but living as slaves. But God never gives up. He's committed to the mission of seeing his glory fill the whole earth. And so Jesus, spoken of by the prophets, the whole of scripture is this one story with Jesus at the center of it. That the purpose and the fulfillment and the promise of all that God brings. And we see this light of salvation shining to the ends of the earth, the prophets say. And we see God come in human form, in the form of Jesus, and do what no one else could do. Making a way for each one of us to experience the blessing of God, the mercy, the grace, the favor, the forgiveness, the never-ending reckless love of God who sent his only begotten son, Jesus, begotten, meaning begotten son. It means he was fully God and yet fully man. I've said this before, but the maths never add up with God. If you're sat there and thinking, I don't know how this can work, you've got God on your side because the maths never add up with God. He is 100% man and 100% God. He is the Son of God, the begotten of God. C.S. Lewis beautifully puts it like this. He says, when you beget something of the same kind as yourself. A man begets human babies. A beaver begets little beavers. And a bird begets eggs, which turn into little birds. See, to be the begotten son means he is God. Jesus is God 100%, but he's the Son of God. He is also 100% man. And through Jesus, who lived the perfect life, lived fully in the image of God all his days, did something we could never do. And yet he took on the death that we deserve. He was crucified a sinner. And in that moment, his punishment became our peace. By his wounds, we have been healed. All our error, all of our wrong in that moment on that cross was put on him. It converges in one moment and he takes it to the grave. And he dies with it. And he's buried with it. And in that moment, all hope seems lost. But 3 days later, he rises again and he rules and reigns over sin and over death, so that all that believe in what he has done, we're now blessed. We now live blessed because of Jesus. We are blessed, but it doesn't stop there. God calls us not just to hoard the blessing, but to give the blessing. What's God's mission? Remember, this is Genesis 1. Remember Genesis 9, Genesis 12. You are blessed. Why? In order for the whole world to be blessed, to show God off to the whole world. And so we see the risen Jesus. He calls those followers of his in Matthew 28. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Don't hoard the blessing for yourself that I've poured out on you. You've got to go. Where? To all nations. Go and bless the whole earth. Bear my image. Be my apprentices, sharing my name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now go. And we see this early church in Acts. They live this reality. Perfectly? No. Wholeheartedly? Absolutely. Acts 2 that we've been reading so much, starting in verse 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possession to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. See, there's the balance of the public gathering, but also in their homes doing life together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Do you see? God says, I'm going to bless you. I've blessed you as the church. Now go and be a blessing so that God's image is increased in the whole earth. Freely you've received, now freely give. Well, that was my 10-minute introduction. A fly through the biblical story. We're going to be here for the next couple of hours. No, I'm only joking, because I mean, you can easily just turn off. In fact, you may have done already. I don't know if you're even out there anymore. But hopefully for those that are still there and still listening, I just want to take you through a little devotional that I did myself this week. Just in my own reading, I was reading 2 Kings 7. And it just hit me like, you know, when you read something in scripture and it's like, wow, I've never read it like that before. And I was reading 2 Kings 7. And it's this moment when the tribes of northern Israel are under threat. To give you some context, after the death of Solomon, the nation of Israel is divided. And it's divided into two kingdoms. And it's the southern smaller kingdom, which is just two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And they're called Judah. And then there's the northern tribes. All the other tribes are in the north. And they're called Israel. And in the south, they've got the capital, Jerusalem. But in the north, by the time of 2 Kings 7, they've got the capital is Samaria. So when you're reading and it seems like there's Israel and Judah, that's because the nation had split. And not only was there tension between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, there's also threats from all of their neighbours. And the Arameans are one of these neighbours that was a threat to the northern kingdom. And the king of Aram has got his army to take hostage of this capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, the city of Samaria. And there's no supplies getting in or coming out. And so there's this severe famine in the land. And it's so bad. I mean, if you go back and read 2 Kings 6, we see that mothers are giving up their children for food. I mean, how desperate do you have to be? I mean, maybe wife swap husband for food, but giving their babies. I mean, I get under my wife's feet, I'm sure. And she'd be like, yeah, have my, but your children, that's how desperate this has got. It is so desperate. And in the midst of this desperation, there's a prophet by the name of Elisha who speaks to the people of this city in 2 Kings 7. In the midst of their crisis, he declares a promise that by this time tomorrow, there will be food. I mean, talk about a bold step. There is a severe famine. Just said how desperate this famine is. And this isn't him saying, like, I've got a picture of a bird and there's going to be a chicken. This isn't like a vague picture. This is specific. And he says, there's going to be this type of food, this weight, and it's going to be here tomorrow. And it was hard to believe. And then the story kind of jumps. And we're introduced to these four guys, these four men who it says were suffering with a skin disease, and they sit down by the entrance of the city, by the city gate, and they give up ready to die. But they agree, we can either sit here and die, or we can go to the enemy camp and surrender. They've got all the food, they've got resources. Now, they might die there too, but they agree if we die there, we've not gained or lost anything because we're going to die here anyway. And so these four skin-diseased men make their way towards the enemy camp of the Arameans. And as they approach, they notice something really, really strange. That the camp was completely empty. And what these men didn't know was that God had gone before them. That as they left the camp, God went before them. And he caused the enemy in this camp to hear the sound of a large army approaching. These four skin-diseased men are approaching, but what the enemy hear is this massive army filled with horses and chariots all coming to attack them, and so they fled. Little did the Arameans know that this large army was only four sick men ready to give up. So they arrive to an abandoned camp, to tents filled with gold and clothing, food and drink, and they dive in. I mean, they are grabbing as much as they can, taking it out of the camp and hiding it, then coming back for more armfuls, taking it, hiding it, hoarding it for themselves, going back and forth, getting as much as they could. And then I was reading 2 Kings 7 and verse 9 this week, just jumped out of me. And it says this in verse 9, they said to each other, what we're doing is not right. Today is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait till morning light, our punishment will catch up with us. So let's go tell the king's household. Today is a day of good news. So let's go and tell. In the midst of these cities' greatest crisis, four men have some good news. And it's the kind of news that the city are literally dying to hear. And if it wasn't for these four men, who in and of themselves could do nothing, but because of God's amazing blessing, they were able to be a blessing. Not storing up the blessing to make life hunky-dory for themselves, but bringing God's blessing to those around them, revealing the goodness of God, telling the good news in the midst of that city's crisis. And so that's what they do. They go back to the king's household, not simply even going to their friends and family. God, let's keep this between ourselves, keep this nice and quiet, make sure we get all the good stuff. No, they go and share the good news with those that needed to know. And it's like in and of themselves, they couldn't do it. They are sick men. But God in and through them blesses them to be a blessing. Church, there is a picture here of who we're called to be in the midst of our town's greatest crisis, our nation's greatest crisis, our planet's most recent greatest crisis. We get to come and say, in and of ourselves, we cannot do this. In fact, it feels a little bit too much, but what we can do is just bless, be blessed and be a blessing. We can share that with those around us. And as we build up this word bless, we'll start to look at what we can do with those blessings. But as it starts right now, we are called to be a blessing to those that are facing crisis. This is what we see in the early church. Not just keeping it to the family, but they shared the good news with everybody. Amazing. It's not about stashing this hoard to ourselves, but sharing it with humanity. You see, what we see in the ancient world, which we've lost a little bit of now, is that life was never lived in isolation. There was very little privacy. Not like today where we have our home life, our work life, our social life. My castle is my home. I shut the world away. There were multiple families all living together, working together, a shared life. In fact, I was in Israel earlier this year and they recently discovered some homes, ruins of homes that are from the first century, from the time of Jesus. And they're small, narrow, small little homes, all built around like a central courtyard where homes all fed into this one space where they did life together. They ate together. The common life. It really was small and compact. Doing life, sharing experiences. It's what we see in Acts 2. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Yeah, they had the temple gatherings, but they also lived life with each other. And those who were not a part of the church, this early church, this amazing movement that is seeing Jesus as the saviour of the world, those that didn't know about that, they saw it up close and personal. Because they were around them. Those that lived near, those friends and families, those they worked with, they were actually all part of these people's household. In fact, that word in the Greek and in the Hebrew, actually, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that word household, it doesn't just mean your own family. It means your whole life, the work. It was all encompassed. We see it in Mark 5 as Jesus heals a man taken captive by demons. He sets him free and the man begs to stay with Jesus. Please let me stay with you. But Jesus says in verse 19, he says, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. The home that is your own people. Literally, the wording says, go to the home that is you. The people that make you who you are. The people that are part of your life. Go to them. The people that make you who you are, the ones that shape you when you go to work, your kids, your neighbours, your family, your friends. Go to the home that is you. There's so many examples in the New Testament. Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. She goes and tells her household and it gathers all of her friends and neighbours, includes everybody that she knows. See, the biblical view of those that are around us and reaching our household, like those four sick men did to the king. They went to the king's household. This biblical view is going way beyond our immediate biological family. It's about loving your neighbor as you love yourself. It's what Jesus said when he defined the whole law. When he was questioned by those religious leaders in Mark 12, he says, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. See, that prayer that he takes, that phrase that he takes, is a prayer. It's called the Shema. And it's been prayed for thousands of years by Jews, faithfully praying this prayer twice a day. Jesus very likely prayed this morning and evening. It's from Deuteronomy 6. And it's called the Shema because the first word is Shema. Listen, Israel. Shema, Israel. Listen doesn't really help because this is more than just letting sound enter our ears. Remember back at Exodus 19, I shared, it said, listen carefully. God speaking to the nation of Israel. Listen carefully. I'm calling you to be a certain people to the world. Well, when he says listen carefully, it's the same word, Shema. And he's saying, listen, now obey. And the word listen here has the idea of not just hearing, but also doing. And so Jesus says, listen, get close to God, be devoted to God. How? By doing this. The second is like it. So listen, O Israel, the Lord your God. This is Jesus summing up the whole of the law and the prophets, summing up all of scripture. And he says, listen, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it. So love God. Understand how blessed you are. How? By being a blessing. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. As we love God, that love captures our hearts. As we express it to each other, it begins to bubble up and we can't control it or restrain it or restrict it. And it starts to have an impact on those around us. We get to bless up, in and out. And actually, we get to combine all of those. When we start to live and realize who God has called us to be, we live in such a way where we are blessing God as we're with each other and we invite other people in on that. So maybe as lockdown is being eased, we start saying, let's meet up as church family. Let's have a coffee with this person. Let's go round to the garden of this other person. How about we actually start saying, but I wonder if I can invite that person that doesn't yet know Jesus, because they're going to see something in us that they've never seen before. The love of God. Because God is committed to his mission, to blessing us in order to be a blessing. So how can you bless out this week? Your friends, your families, your colleagues, your postmen. Those who start going back to the clubs that you're going back to, those social spaces that are starting to be eased. You might think some of them are nowhere near Jesus. Probably hardly seems worth bothering. But I want to say they're near you. And you're a follower of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, then how much closer to Jesus do those people need to be? Maybe God has put you next to them because God wants to be next to them. So how can you bless out this week in word, in action, in gift, remembering that we live to bless God and bless each other and bless the world, that we've been called and blessed to be a blessing. And so maybe just like those four men in 2 Kings 7, maybe you feel unworthy, not enough. Your life seems too broken. How can I share the goodness of God? Oh, that you would open our eyes, Jesus, to just how blessed we are. That even in our brokenness, maybe because of our brokenness, maybe you say, I don't know what to say or what to do. Just bless. Ask God right now, that person you're thinking of right now that is in your mind, God, how can I bless them this week? That is a starting point. It's a starting point, just pouring out the blessing that you've received from God into their life. And maybe, just maybe, God is already going before you. And the sound of a mighty army, when it's just little old me, maybe God is stirring something in the heart of that person this week. And your willingness to bless them might just be the gift that starts a conversation. Might just be something that initiates a significant moment in the days, weeks, months, and years to come. And so this week, as we're about to sing and finish our time together this morning, this week I pray you grasp just how blessed we are. The width, the height, the depth of God's love for you. And we'd live from that place of blessing in order to bless the world around us. Becky, will you just lead us in a final song?
Father, we thank you for the promises that we have in you. The promises of life and life in all its fullness. The blessings that you pour in. That you take everything of life and turn it for our good, for those that love you and are called according to your purposes. Lord, I pray that this would be a week where we live out of that blessing in order to bless. This week, may we realize the good news, and so we go and tell. In ways that might seem insignificant, in ways that we don't understand, in ways that look a lot like laying down your life for your friends. But I pray that this would be a week where we live to bless, not just be blessed. So as we go, open our eyes to see the people around us, the very people that you have drawn close to us because you want to get close to them, until your glory and your image fills the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Church, I really pray you have a blessed week, but not just that, that you're blessed in order to bless. And so have a fantastic week. And don't forget, this time next week, Sunday next week, it's our pre-service Zoom call. So we'll send all of those details out through Connect Groups, and there'll be a link on this page this time next week. So you can click that to get through to the Zoom call. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to join with other Elim churches across the country for our Elim Family Festival. And so we're really looking forward to that. So if you can be on the Zoom call beforehand at 10:30, and then we'll give you the link for the that service. But otherwise, have a great week, and we will speak and see you all soon. God bless you.